Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm so delighted once again to be before you on this Tuesday evening. It's a beautiful day here in South Florida. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter, from Lansing, Michigan. What's going on there in Lansing, Shirley?
Oh, good evening. You know what? The weather's been kind of weird today. You know, I thought it was going to be 58 or 60 degrees, but we had sprinkles and a little cool breeze. But for February, the end of it, I am not complaining. If I don't have snow out there and I don't have sub-zero, I'm good. Things are well in Lansing.
Awesome. I'm so glad that Lansing is still standing. It's a little chill, a little coolness and stuff, but it's nothing like here in Fort Lauderdale. So it's, I think, about 80 degrees today. But the traffic has been a complete beast. I've never been on the highway as much as I've been on the last couple of weeks. But, you know, I'm glad to still be here. I'm still here in the land of the living and excited about tomorrow and the next day and the next day after that. February is a month of love, of celebration, of romance. And I have my dear friend, Sylvia Hines, Donovan Hines, and her husband, James Hines, if he's on the line. I know he's been busy doing a lot of things. He's in business. They're entrepreneurs. They have their own businesses. And we're talking about love, relationship, marriage, and business tonight. Sylvia, are you there?
Yes, I am. And I've got my wonderful hubby here. He'll be here for a minute because he's on a business call. But I did want to give him an opportunity to say something.
Hello.
Oh, hi, how are you, my king, Sylvia's king?
Blessed and highly favored.
I know you're going to have to jump off the line, James, but
yes.
I know people are anxious to know how you met your queen and what was your first take when you met your queen, Sylvia?
Met in person or met in person, you think?
In person.
Okay. We had an unusual meeting. We met in front of my home. We had a date on Thanksgiving, and we met in front of my home, and she got out of her car, and when she got out of her car, I kind of stared at her, and you know, I just kind of knew that was going to be my wife right there.
Wow.
And I've never been like that before in my life, I can honestly say. But
never?
Never. A pastor told me, though, it's funny, a pastor of mine told me that when you see your wife, you'll know it. And he was right. And he
you
was
know,
absolutely
Shirley and
correct.
I have spoken. Shirley and I have spoken several times, and we talked about a window, how when a man is ready to get married, there's just something like, I guess, what you described. There's a window where you feel like this is it. Can you expound on that, or were you looking for a wife, or was something that just happened?
Well, actually, ultimately, I was looking to one day get married, but it was nothing that was anything immediate. I was looking for, obviously, a relationship before that, but it was more along the lines of I was praying for the Lord to send me somebody that would be for me, and whoever is for you is for you. Whatever the Lord has for you is for you, and you will know that. So from that standpoint, we had been in communication actually before we met, and the communication was positive, and we covered a lot of areas, and I kind of had a really good feeling about Sylvia before I met her, so that when I met her, it was more so confirmation of the communication that we had had before.
Okay. Now, Sylvia, I know your king has to leave soon, but I'm going to try and get in as much as I can while he's still on there.
Okay.
Now, I know you were looking for a husband because we've talked about it several times. So when you met James, did you know he was the one?
When I met him, I can't say that I knew that he was the one. It was just there was something different. You know, like our first date was Thanksgiving Day. And it just, it was sort of this, I can't say chemistry, but it was just sort of this meshing that was almost weird because, you know, here I am pulling up to his house, our first date, you know, we're going over to his cousin's house, and it just seems like we had known each other forever, and we were just meeting, you know, and it just continued to be like that. It just continued to be like we knew each other already. And from the time that we met until when we got married, it was exactly 7 months. And we've been married now 8 months. And it's just been an ever-going, evolving experience. And just this week, I was just thanking God because, you know, of course, you know, I wanted to be married. I mean, I've been wanting to be married forever, and this is my first marriage, and I'm 56. But it's just that God would find just the right person to connect me with, that my vices, he understands, you know, and that there's just like nothing about me that it was like he couldn't deal with and he couldn't accept. And we recently had a death in my family, and I had to go through that with him. And that's when you really understand the relationship, when you have hard times. And just to see how he was and how my family had adapted to him, and it's just, he's just a part of me, you know. And I can't say anybody I've ever known, anybody I dated, I ever experienced that before.
Now, what a lot of people don't know about you and James' relationship is that you met online, as me and my husband met online. Can you tell about that experience? Because a lot of people have reservations about online dating. James, what was your experience prior to meeting Sylvia?
Well, online dating, I had learned to approach it more as entertainment more than anything else, because there's such a variety of people with intentions and ideas and so forth online that if you take it seriously, you will do it for a very short period. You'll get tired of it really quick. You know, as far as if you had told me a year ago that I was going to meet my wife online, I would have said you're crazy. I would have really said you're crazy. But having said that, there are good people online, and I've met good people. But then, you know, you've got, just like in offline, you've got all types and people with their agendas and so forth. But online is not necessarily a bad experience. It's what you make it. If it's what you make it. And the thing that I liked about online is I feel like at this stage in my life, I know exactly what I'm looking for and I won't accept anything different. So that if it's somebody that I don't feel would be a good match, I didn't waste a lot of time doing so.
Sylvia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well,
what was your take
me,
about online dating?
Online dating, I had been doing it on and off, for a while, and I felt that really that it was weird. I felt like I was going to meet my husband online because I was really busy, and it just seemed that you were able to meet people you wouldn't traditionally meet, and I kept meeting people that had met their spouses online. The year before I met James, a friend of mine had gotten married, and she had met her husband on the same site that I met James on. So I just felt like that it was possible, but you have to be just like anything else. I mean, if you go to a club, you meet somebody at a restaurant or a church, you still got to be cautious. You know, those antennas are still the same. The only thing that's different is that online, until you actually meet the person, there's so much opportunity for the person to be fake. So you have to do everything to eliminate that as soon as possible. That includes, like, having people send you pictures, you know, when you get to that point, you know, so that you get as much information as possible, because I've experienced situations where people were not who they said they were. They pretended to be one person and were somebody else. I've heard horror stories. So you just have to be a little bit more cautious, but definitely the opportunity is there. And if you look at the statistics, more people are marrying from online dating.
And I know Shirley could chime in on this too, but, you know, people say they don't want to date because there's so many criminals online. Well, you know what? There's criminals in church. There's criminals when you meet them in a restaurant, at a grocery store. Actually, I'd be more afraid to date somebody I met in a grocery store because that means they were following you, stalking you. You don't know how many times they've watched you, and they know your habits about going to the grocery store. They know your habits, like if you're working and you go to the post office. So, you know, there are people that actually case you. They know what you like and don't like, follow you when you're out shopping so that they can feed into what they think that you want to hear. So my take is, like, when you do online, you have the opportunity. Like, I don't know, when I first started talking to my husband, I was just telling him everything, whatever. You know, I was just like, you know, because really I wasn't actually expecting to meet someone and fall in love or get married. I was just saying whatever, talking any kind of way, you know, like, because I really didn't care. You know, this is who I am. You want me to be transparent? I'm transparent. And being that he was like almost 3 hours away, I was like, yeah, I probably won't even see him anyway and stuff. But fate would have it, he drove up and then hasn't stopped driving, even though we've been married since August and we dated for a year and a half. And, you know, it was just something like when we first met, I felt like you, Sylvia. I didn't know or feel that, okay, that was my husband, but I knew that I was going to see him. And again, there was a chemistry where I knew I wanted to be with him. So I know, Shirley, you've had some experiences too that you may want to share with the audience as well.
Oh, yes. Not only have I had experiences with online dating, but I also put it in my book about online dating. One of the conveniences of online dating, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you don't have the time to really, you know, go through all the traditional things of meeting someone, online dating gives you an opportunity to meet several people that you wouldn't normally meet on a regular general basis. And it gives you another advantage is that It depends on how, if your communication is not cohesive and you're not communicating on the same level, then you don't waste your time. You move on. It allows you to communicate with several different people on all different types of levels. And you look for someone that's more compatible to what you have going in your life. And the profiles and everything, they don't always tell you who that person is, but if you can read sometime between the lines or get them on the phone once you get past a certain point of communicating with them online and then exchange numbers, believe it or not, you can hear a lot in a person's voice, their character. There's going to be little things that you may say that bring out something in them that they didn't want you to know or they didn't put in their profile. So my experiences I've had, you know, I've dated guys from online. I had a 3-year relationship with a guy, but it was a point in time in my life where I was not ready to move physically, and he wanted to move, and he wanted to move here or move there, but I was not ready to uproot myself and move away for several reasons, and then it also allowed me to see another side of him as far as how can he handle some of the things like the crisis, the point of need when you need someone to be right there for you? Can they handle that? And I had several deaths to come in my family, come through my family during that relationship, and they didn't do too well with that. So, and I'm like, okay, if you're not doing well, I'm not doing well. I need someone that's going to be there for me, with me, to help me through. But if you can't even handle it and they're not even related to you, then those are things I have to look at. But dating and finding that one, and I listened to James when he said when she stepped out of that car, he didn't have like, okay, this is going to be my wife from the voice. When she stepped out, he said it was different. He had a different feeling. And then when I heard Sid talk about how it's like she knew him already. It was like they had a connection. And, you know, and I'm that person that believes that when God has got someone for you, that's the person for you. You would feel these things. And I don't know if James is still on the line with us or he had to go to his business, but I had a question for him. In your quest of your dating and everything, did you have any idea as far as if you would date for 6 months, a year, or what? Or did you just know when you found that one that was going to be it? It didn't matter how long you had dated.
Let me ask, and they were asking if you had any time frame of how long you wanted to date before you got married.
No, I really didn't. I had no set period before I got married. I normally don't do things hastily, so I know it would be it'd be a while, but I didn't have any set period.
Well, 7 months was fast.
I know, and that's and you have to know James to realize how amazing our relationship is.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's basically counteracts a lot of the things that he does, the way he does things.
I'm pretty conservative. I am pretty conservative, so yeah.
So it sounds like you're that guy that if you're going to do something, you're going to do it. It's not about, you know, this time frame. It's not about that. But you, once you knew, what was there to wait on?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay.
Because
he could have done it quicker. It was just that I wanted a wedding, and we were going through premarital counseling and things, so we actually could have got married sooner.
Right, because I know you was talking about just going to the courthouse or something, right?
I wasn't. I think he would have been.
Oh,
married.
I was about to say, now let's correct that. That was not the case. No, he did not want to do the courthouse. No way. No, she wanted the big wedding, and she got the big wedding.
Yes,
she did. It was lovely.
It was a production. Let me correct that.
it was
a production. And one thing I've learned, and I learned this from you, Sam, is that in Texas, everything is done big. There's no such thing as traditional or small. Texas, everything is done big. But I have to say, our audience, I'm telling you, it was one of those storybooks, straight out of the storybook wedding. And the whole romance, the whole courtship, you know, is a book in itself. And so I have to testify to that. I mean, it was just in awe, all of it. So it had to be orchestrated by God for these two, because I know him personally. And to see it and to witness it, you know, because if someone had told me what it was like, it would have been difficult for me to wrap my mind totally around it. But to be there and be a part of it, it was an experience I will never forget, you know. So,
well, those of you that missed the production, all you have to do is find them on Facebook. Sylvia Devin Hines on Facebook. She had her counseling, the courtship, the engagement, all of it on Facebook. So, James, how was that for you with your whole life on display across the country? So, and when you answer that, I want you to talk, because the show is love, relationship, and marriage, because there's a difference between love and relationship. And can you expound on what that means to you?
Well, and first of all, let me go to your first point. As far as the publication of everybody on Facebook and seeing it and all this, I'm not, to date, I have not been a social media person. Now, that's changing from a business perspective, but here before I hadn't been a social media person. So people would come up to me and say, hey, I saw you on Facebook and this, that, and the other. But prior to that, I hadn't been on it, but it did not bother me to be on there. And so that was no problem from my perspective. And as far as relationships, you know, we have all kinds of relationships, business relationships and personal. But if there is no love in it, then you can't make a marriage out of it. So yeah, I feel like that our relationship was orchestrated by God. As a matter of fact, we were almost a month into the relationship when only at that point we realized our birthdays on the same day. So yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it there was a lot of confirmation of a lot of different things as we went along, and there's still even confirmation every day that it was orchestrated by God. But I think that because of the quality of the relationship and the fact that God is the third cord in the relationship, that is what is going to keep us together.
When Sylvia told me your birthday was the same day, I said, oh, my God, he's crazy, too. I tell Sylvia, only her, God just gives her a favor where only she can get away with certain things. Her is off the chart. When it comes to doing things, events, and stuff, Sylvia, I mean, she is the phenomenal woman. She's, you know, loving, caring, giving. I love her to pieces. I mean, from the day I met her, and I told her when she doing things, I said, only you. God only gives it to you.
Thank you.
So, Sylvia, love. Talk about love, what that means, and then how it folded over into the relationship that you now have with your husband.
Well, I think that the Bible speaks about it in such an amazing way. You know, in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, that basically love is the key component. It's not about tongues. It's not about prophecy, but it's the love. And that the one unique thing about James and our relationship is that I was the caregiver of my mother, who was dealing with Alzheimer's, when we met. And before we really got into, you know, dating seriously, I, you know, let him know that and was like, is this something that you're going to be able to deal with? You know, and one of the things he said, well, before it's over, I mean, we could end up taking care of my mother, because you just never know what way life is going to change. So that love, the love that we have, extends to her and helps to undergird her and undergird my nonprofit. So it's just that core element that you have. You know, everybody wants to do the candlelight dinners and take the walks along the park, but all of that evolves into something more substantial. Because as you get older, I mean, there's so many things that you have to confront, and that same love that allows you to hold hands allows you to embrace each other when someone passes, you know, allows you to deal with things when things are uncomfortable. I thought I knew love, but after getting married and the intimate way that James and I have come together, I now say I know it in a way that I never even dreamed that it could be.
Awesome. It has been said that the best relationships talk like best friends, play like children, and you protect each other like brother and sister. So is communication the key?
I would say without a doubt, communication is the key. Yeah.
I would definitely say so. Yeah, you have to be open to talk, even sometimes when you don't want to talk. You have to keep the lines of communication open, and you have to be able to pray together. I like to say that Sylvia is the only person I've ever known that if we have a disagreement, she'll come to pray, and what can you do? You can't have heart turn down prayer. So, you know.
I get you, boy.
Let's pray.
Go ahead, Phil.
It helps because the prayer, it basically it opens you up, you know, so that maybe, you know, you got your side, he's got his side, but once when you begin to talk to God, it just like it sort of cuts through whatever may have been there. And it has just been an amazing factor in our relationship.
That's awesome. You know, at this dispensation of our lives, we're, I guess are we considered middle-aged, Shirley?
We're knocking on the door. you know, but I can say that honestly that I am, because I'm in the 60s club, so I'm middle age, and I'm loving it to be in a space in my life where I have, you know, not that I have less responsibilities, but it's almost like I have the freedom of choosing things on a more relaxed level. Choosing to do what I want to do or say things I want to, the way I want to say them, and don't have any regrets about them. So that middle age has given me another whole level of living life to a certain age. It's like I've paid my dues in so many ways And now I have some freedom and peace to say that I don't have to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. And I have to still be accountable and responsible for mankind and what, you know, how I treat someone. I understand that. And in the same token, being able to express myself on a more level of, I don't have to be so confined or held down to a certain thing, that I have lived and I have lived it to the fullest. So middle age is a good place for me. And I'm listening to James and Sylvia talk about relationship and love and even the marriage part, getting to that point. And I don't know if James knows, but Siv and Val, you both know that I've been married 4 times. And I find myself some days saying, do I want to get married again? Do I, you know, have I gotten so comfortable in the space and place that I'm at? And loving someone and marrying them, spending the rest of my life with them, to me, that's wonderful. I am the marrying kind, but then there's also that scary part of being married and divorced that many times. If I do it again, will it last? Or will I survive it? So the communication, and I love the part with Siv, what you said, when you get to certain points and a disagreement come in there, just stop talking and start praying. I love that. And that's a perspective I've never heard before. I can honestly say that. That is something is very powerful. I've never heard that. We disagreed. He got his side. I got my side. And then we say, let's pray. And James, you said, what are you going to do? You go keep fighting when she say pray? You can't turn down prayer. Girlfriend, you have bought a new perspective to coming to an understanding, agreeing to this, you know, that's a whole new level to just fall on our knees and pray. Because once we bring God into it, what, you going to fight with him now? It ain't about us anymore. Right. And that's wonderful. Right.
And, you know, and the other side to that is they're both believers where, you know, if you have, if you're a believer and your mate isn't and you say, let's pray, he walk out the door, or she'll walk out the door because they don't want to hear that because God isn't in it. But the beauty in it is that you're walking together in agreement. And at this dispensation of our lives, we've lived long enough to know what we want and what we didn't want. So I know I just wanted to be at a place of peace. I wanted to be happy. I didn't want to be in a situation or marriage where it was stressful, arguing and nitpicking. And, you know, and I found that when I met my husband, you know, and he continues to make me laugh. You know, we can look at each other and just bust out laughing because we just bust out laughing. And it's a wonderful thing to be at a peace in a situation where the blessings of the Lord make us rich and adds no sorrow. That's what the word says. It adds no sorrow. And when people come together as married, that, you know, two coming together as one, meaning I got your back. You can lean on me. I can lean on you. And, you know, if you're doing business or entrepreneurs, you can do your thing and they can do theirs, but you come together as one because it's marriage. So how has that been for you, Sylvia, because you're working and plus you're an entrepreneur, and James, I know you have your own company, and then you have to deal with Sylvia because Sylvia wears a lot of hats. So how is that coming into play now as marriage is taking root into you both?
So, James is already on his business call. But
okay, but you didn't answer that, Sylvia.
In reference to us coming together, at first that had to be a challenge when we were dating because I do wear a lot of hats. You know, I'm a nonprofit person. I have a full-time job. I caretaker of my mom and, you know, community activist. And I think that one of my, I think, biggest strength is my compassion. And therefore, anytime anybody's ever called me, I've always been there. So that has been the biggest adjustment in getting married, to realize there can be some constraints on that. You know, if somebody was in the hospital, it was midnight, you know, I'd get up and go. So James is still giving me the freedom that I need to function, but I still have to respect him and put constraints on that.
Mm-hmm. So you've learned how to release the I for the we.
Right, right. And to realize that as a single person, you know, I could do everything. And I could be every place. But as a married person, that, like, Sundays are sacred in our household. Unless it's something very special, that's our time. You know, and I don't make plans to do anything at all on a Sunday. So, you know, my activities, that, like, if I went to something and people wanted me to do pictures, I didn't care how long it was, but I put a time limit on things when I'm outside of our house.
Okay, that's good. So, you know, what I hear you saying, and what I've also done too, is we've learned to function as a wife. You know, every woman is not a wife. They're not functioning mm-hmm. as a Proverbs 31 woman, whereas you're open to the possibilities of allowing someone in your space, to share your space, the giving and the sacrifices that come along with being a wife, and ultimately sometimes allows you the opportunity to be blessed to be a mother. So everyone is not cut out for that. They're men that are husbands that have married women that were not ready or prepared to be a wife, and vice versa. So it's a challenge if you're not ready, because a lot of times when you enter a relationship, you know, you just think about sex, but sex is, you know, not a total relationship is not totally what a marriage is all about. Because what happens when the sex dissipates? What happens when the relationship isn't what it is and you're left to deal with one another by, you know, being intimate, being into me, into each other, those things that hurt you, or those things that bring you joy? That's what marriage is all about, undergirding one another so that if you go higher, you bring your partner with you, not going to exceed above them or think you're greater than that. I think that a lot of individuals that flow in an entrepreneurial state or situation, that's what happens with their marriage, and they wind up in divorce a lot of time, because when you're working on your dreams, you forget about the person that is walking beside you to help your dream come into manifestation. So in that, Shirley, maybe you can expound on that, since you've been in several marriages.
Four marriages. Let's put it on there. Four of them, not several, four. But one of the things that I find in that is when you know, in a marriage, when you've got several things going and the mm-hmm. other party is not, say they're not an entrepreneur, you've got to find some balance in there. And that's why it's good to be somewhat like-minded. And I say somewhat because a lot of entrepreneurs marry people who are not entrepreneurs. But if they can undergird what you do, then that helps it grow. Because then they become that strength you need when you're not strong enough to carry out through that
date.
But then I find that sometimes the men become more withdrawn
instead of being that undergirdment for you, because they feel like somewhat inadequate. And then you talk about the intimacy that I find that sometimes men are reluctant to give of themselves. They will give their finances, they will give you the world. But when it comes down to actually giving you a part of them, which is sometimes with an entrepreneur, you don't need, quote, the finances. You need to know that that person is going to be there when you say, look, my feet hurt, my back hurt. Just give me a hug. I had a rough day. Just be there to hold me, talk to me. And they get the intimacy mixed up and think and say, oh, they want to have sex. I can't do it anymore. Or I'm not feeling it. Or I got some issues that I got to deal with. But not knowing that when it comes to a real woman, there's many ways to please her. Even if it's, that's why I say when I used to date, when I was back in the day dating, my key thing was to a man, can you make love to my mind? The average man can make love to my body, but can you make love to my mind? If you can make love to my mind, caress my mind, you got my attention. So that is one of the things that I see in a lot of relationship with entrepreneurs, whether married or dating, that especially when it comes to women entrepreneurs and men, they're looking for someone that can stimulate their mind, someone that can be intimate with them without being the sexual part. Mm-hmm. Can they handle both? So that is my take on that. And being an entrepreneur and been married 4 times, and I had out of those, it was 3 husbands before marriages. I had only 1 husband that believed in the entrepreneurship, but the issue became who is the head of the company, who holds the title. That title became very important, that even though I had the mindset to think up the company and put everything in order, and then I found later on in the business that he didn't feel important enough in it, started to pull back and start to lose interest in it. And then one thing led to another, and next thing he felt like wasn't enough time given to him, so he began to have an extramarital affair because he said he felt like he was not important anymore. And that was his excuse. So it has its roles and everything in a relationship when you decide to be an entrepreneur, but then you have to decide, you know, if my partner is going to walk away instead of communicating and we working this out and then figuring out, okay, what can we do next? Working together, then it can kill a marriage and it can kill a relationship. But then you have to make the decision, am I going to give up my dreams? Or am I going to submit and just forget, you know, or just go ahead and keep pushing forward and say, come on with me, come on. And if they don't, you can't make them. And then so it puts you on another level and another mindset is that I got to go. I got to do this. I will not die with this inside of me, knowing that God has given me this gift and I'm helping others. And especially if you got other people dependent on you being successful, like your employees, like the legacy of your children. And at this point in time in my life, when I was doing that, all of my sons worked for the company. I was job security for them that helped them, allow them to live their lifestyle and be independent on their own by working for my company. So it's a lot of decisions to be made, you know, because the decision that sometimes as an entrepreneur that we make, especially when we got employees, affects a lot of lives. So we sacrifice.
I think it, like listening to you and you're talking about the marriage, I think the key that was missing was the commitment in it, because when you love someone, you're committed to them and committed to their cause. And I've often said, you know, from my book, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, one of the things is, in the love, when you're exploring one another's emotions and feelings and desires, I think you should be transparent about who you are, those things you want to attain, those dreams you have for yourself, and see how each of you would fit in those dreams that you're inspired to do. Because like I say, this dispensation that we're in now, we kind of know what we want and where we're going. Younger days, you know, yeah, I could see you, like you got married a couple of times and stuff. You were young and didn't really have anybody to show you or teach you about what marriage was about, relationship was about. We, you know, we leaped and grew wings on the way down. And just like being a parent, you don't always know how to cultivate that child to be who they're supposed to be. We just, you know, just get on and start riding the bike and hope we don't fall off. So now, when you're of a certain age, when you're looking to be committed to someone to marry, if you're not able to communicate and share all of who you are with that individual, then there's no sense in going on with that relationship, because you're either going to embrace my flaws or tear me down because of them. And so the commitment has to be there in order for it to flow into marriage. No more settling or taking back seat or wanting to get married so bad that we'll become chameleons to appear to be something that we're not, just to get the down the aisle, just to get that ring on the finger. Because after you say I do, it's going to be work. I know my husband said, you know, this marriage is going to take work. And I'm like, okay, yeah, it's going to take work, but it's not going to be that much work. And to me, it really hasn't been that much work, because we've talked about so many things. We've shared so many things to everything. It's like I've known him my whole life. And when we do have oppositions, which we've had oppositions, and, you know, things went south, we were able to come together and communicate and talk about it, because we already knew our dispositions. We already knew our hearts and our thoughts on certain matters. And they don't flip in and out when you're transparent. It remains the same. And what we have to do now is work together to make sure that we are able to function and stay on that same path and not let other people's situations or circumstance distract us from that which we're doing and which we know to be true for ourselves and the relationship. So, Sylvia, have you come to that conclusion as well?
Definitely. And I think you put it best, because and I feel really good, because you and Shirley both, you know me very well. You know my journey. That not to settle. Even though I was 55 when I got married, I was okay if it didn't happen. I wanted it to happen, but if it didn't happen, I was still okay. And the gentleman that I was seeing when I met James, I realized that I was settling. This really was not my ultimate relationship. And I had to be willing to realize that and to let it go in order to get what God really had for me. And just to show you how it works, I had been talking to him for 7 months, and the relationship had gone nowhere. And within 7 months, I was married to James. So,
wow.
And the things that I enjoy doing. I mean, James and I, we like some of the same things. We like going to the movies. We love to travel. You know, we love to just talk. And so those things that I was giving up just for what I thought was a relationship, which really wasn't, you know. And we have to really believe. I always say that God's word is true or it's not. So you got to believe all of it or believe none of it. And so I believe that because I knew God had better and I was open to better, that I was able to receive it. If I hadn't been able to open up and receive more, I would be in the same situation.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We settle because of we don't want to be alone. We settle because we feel that we're inadequate. We settle because we think that there is nothing else. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, you were able to recognize and take the shift and know that you were better than what you were dishing out. Imagine if you would have just stayed in that situation and a whole year had passed by and it hadn't shifted, it hadn't changed, but because you were holding on to what was kind of familiar to you, you weren't able to release yourself so that you can meet James. And I thank you for having that courage to let it go, because there's ladies that are tuning in now that are in relationships, or they think they're in a relationship with someone, because sometimes you could be in a relationship with someone and they're not in a relationship with you. I know my friend Mel, but we talked about this a few years ago on a radio show, how you can be in a relationship in your imagination. Shirley, you remember mm-hmm. that?
I remember that so well. I mean, that relationship that she had in her mind, it was even to the point where she was ready to marry this person. And I really thought she was in a relationship with him, but she wasn't. It was all in her mind. I mean, she was not in one at all. They had never even remotely talked about a movie date, dinner date, anything. But that was, you know, she played it all out in her head. What was happening next, and, oh, he doesn't really want her because, you know, he wants me. And I was like, wow. And, you know, and the other thing, too, you know, I listened to you, Val, when you said about the relationship being in what you think is a relationship. And now we have people that will, they easily say, oh, yeah, I'm in a relationship. But in their mind, they're not. So it's a flip mm-hmm. now going on that they actually physically go through the motions and, you know, and as far as when I say physically go through the motion, the courtship and all of that, or the hanging out or whatever you want to call it, and where one party is thinking, okay, we got this relationship and, you know, where are we going? And the other one's like, oh, no, I'm not in a relationship. So there's a combination of things that are going on. There's a shift in that. But then when some people are confronted about it, oh, you know, then they get to, oh, I thought you knew that we were just friends. And so it's, you know, I've had that come across lately. Like, okay, they said what? You know, so, yeah, it's a whole lot that's going on now in today's society and everything as far as relationship. I think that some people have gotten away from what a true relationship is. Even though we have different types of relationships, but if you're that one key word, commitment, if you're truly committed, or you just like the sound of it, or that is a new line to say to someone to actually hold on to them and not allow to see them with someone else, is to put it out there like we're committed. But they're not really committed. That goes into my book when I talk about is that the one? Are you the one? Because that line there can be thin, because the mind can play some tricks on you, Are you thinking one thing when it's really something else? So finding the one, when you're finding the one in the true relationship, they have already understood the breakdown and the dynamics of commitment. So many people are afraid to be committed. That word is a word that's almost like, it used to be, don't ever tell a person you love them because you're done. That was the old saying. You're done if you say you love them. Or don't let her say it first, or don't you say it first, let her say it first, or don't you say it first, let him say it first. It's just a twist in there, and now the thing is commitment. And are you in a true relationship as far as a relationship of love, which leads to marriage? There's so many different levels.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Sylvia, it has been a pleasure with you and mm-hmm. your husband, James, joining us tonight. Do you have any closing remarks or anything you want to share with ladies who are waiting?
Yes. First of all, is that you've got to believe that it's still possible. I don't care what anybody says, what they say about statistics. I know more African-American women that are in their 50s that are getting married for the first time. So believe that it's possible. Embrace it. But embrace who you are, because when you embrace who you are, I think I went through an evolving period where I really got to know me. And then that's when God allowed me to be shared with someone else. There's one thing that you always said to me, Val, and I will never forget it. I would rather be alone than be with someone in which that I was alone.
That was always, and
it's so true, because when you're in close quarters with them, there's nothing like that. So you want to make sure it's the right person. Celebrate your singleness until you get that person. Don't do it miserably. Enjoy yourself. I used to go to the movies, go to dinner, do whatever I wanted to do by myself. Being single is a blessing.
Yes.
Enjoy it until God blesses you with someone else.
Yes.
Yes.
That is so true. And, yeah, I know I said that because I was in a domestic violence relationship, and I used to wish I was by myself, wish I was out of that situation. So that's why I used to always say, I'd rather be alone than wish I was. And that was real true. And I thank you so much for joining us. Give my love to your husband and thank him for me.
Thank you.
And Shirley, give the listening audience the contact information for your book. And remember that real men and women stay faithful. They don't have time to look for other relationships because they'll be too busy trying to love and appreciate and celebrate the one relationship that they're in. Your information for your book, Shirley.
My book is Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man, and you can get your copies at ebook copies at Barnes & Noble, Smashword.com, or ShirleyMCarter.com, and I can autograph and send you a hard copy. That's ShirleyMCarter.com. Get your copy of it. Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man.
Thank you so much, and good night.
Good night. Thanks so much, Dr.